former Blue Jay and MLB All-Star, Sean Green, one of my favorite guys to ever talk to. Sean, thank you so much for joining the show today.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
So, Sean,
you got to ask him.
Oh, I'm getting it.
Okay, you got to ask him.
I'm good. Okay, well, first, Sean, we might have brought this up in the past, and you were an All-Star. You had a fantastic career, but do you feel bad about the fact that I picked your name out of a hat in 1999 at the Home Run Derby? $10 was thrown in per person, and you beat Sammy Sosa, but you didn't really get that far in it. Do you feel bad that you cost me $10?
I was it 10 Canadian or 10 U.S.?
It was 10 Canadian, so about $7.28 American.
Okay, I don't feel quite as bad. That's a nice difference. But yeah, no, that was a fun experience. It really was. It was definitely the scariest thing I had done at the time. But I like the format now much better than the format that we have.
With just the clock and where it's a race against time a little more than a guy gets 10 pitches?
Yeah, exactly, exactly. And the thing that there are some challenges there. It's like we didn't have a cage to warm up in because it was inside the Monster. So that was stressful. Not only did I have to follow, I think I was sandwiched between McGuire and Sosa, you know, about 8 months after they broke the home run records and all that, had the big 98 season. So that was a little stressful, but then to add to it, we couldn't warm up. So basically BP ended about three or four hours before, and it's like, okay, go. And there's no warm up swings or anything. So that was kind of the other big challenge. So the goal was just to hit, I wanted to make the next round. Goal was to hit a couple. I hit two, and then I would have made it to the next round, but Griffey hit a home run on his 10th out. He hit a home run to get to three, and that knocked me out. And then I think Griffey might have gone on to win it, if I'm not mistaken.
So you were in the competition with Mark McGuire. Was McGuire in that competition any different than, say, Aaron Judge was last night or Stanton was last night?
I mean, McGuire is very similar. I mean, I think I don't think there's anyone who's ever lived who can hit the ball harder and further in a home run derby than McGuire, but if there's anyone that's anywhere close, I think it would be Judge for sure, and Stanton as well. But I mean, Bonds hit the ball a long way, but I don't know if you guys remember I think it was 98. Yeah, it must have been 98 because we had Canseco, and we came up for two spring training games against the Cardinals prior to the big 70 home run season for McGuire, and there was a home run derby at Sky Dome, which was called at the time, and McGuire and Canseco were just putting on a ridiculous show, hitting balls, high up and off the hotel rooms, and it was pretty fun to watch. So, I've seen it firsthand, and those two guys can put on a show with the best of them. But Judge and Stanton are this generation's version.
If you had to guess, or if you know, the longest dinger you ever socked would have been how long?
I don't know how far. I know I hit one in the fifth deck in Sky Dome. So I think that was probably the farthest. Batting practice, yeah, I mean, I hit a couple into the restaurants in center field. Carlos and I did that a couple times during batting practice. But I don't know. They didn't really measure them too much. But, and BP, we were trying to hit them as far as we could. So Sky Dome, Rogers Center has probably the best targets in baseball because you can hit the face of the windows. We always went for the Jumbotron, but never got it.
That was very cocky of you, very optimistic. Joined by Sean Green here on Overdrive. Sean, what I like about having you on is you're always good for stories. And before we get, I want to talk about what you were doing in London. You were participating in the All-Star Derby there.
I'm sorry? The All-Star
Okay, let's get this one thing out of the way.
Let's do that.
Do you call it the All-Star Derby or the All-Star Derby?
Derby.
Thank
but
you.
But when you were in London, did they call it the Derby or the Derby? Because
I honestly would try to side with one of you, but I didn't hear anyone say Derby or Derby.
Okay, well you sided with me already. Thank you, I appreciate that, Sean.
I object.
Sean, in the Blue Jays' final game before the All-Star break, they lost 19-1. And what I'm curious about is, what is that like in the dugout? I did a little research. When you were with the Diamondbacks back in 2005, on May 8th, you guys lost 16-2 to Pittsburgh. Then a mere 5 days later, on Friday the 13th, you lost 18-3 to Colorado. And I don't really care about going back and looking at why you guys won or lost. What I'm curious about, what is the dugout like in the eighth inning of those games?
Yeah, I mean, those games, I mean, even when you're on the winning side of it, it's, I think everyone's sort of is ready for the game to end. It's, you know, a lot more fun when you're on the winning side. And I've been on the winning side of those games, though, and been the one guy who made all the outs. And people come to you and say, oh, someone had to make the outs today. You know, we scored 15 runs, but I was 0 for 6. So I've been on that side of it, too. But, yeah, it's tough. I mean, I think for a bounce back for the next day, you'd rather get beaten up like that than lose, you know, 4-3 in the 13th inning. And, you know, think about all the mistakes that cost the team the game that were made throughout. I think those are tougher to bounce back than, you know, when your pitcher just doesn't have it and gets a bunch of runs. It's, you know, you see that in the playoffs as well. It's those tough, close games that are harder to bounce back.
Sean, Cause here is trying to tell me that Aaron Judge is the next greatest thing since sliced bread, and I've been trying to think of other players who have been the next greatest thing. When you look at Aaron Judge, what do you see?
I mean, he's a physical specimen, amazing. What kind of blew me away watching the Home Run Derby is his swing is, he has a pretty short swing for such a big guy, and it's a little bit more of an uppercut, where usually guys who drive the ball like he can to the opposite field have, they create a little more backspin with sort of a down and through the ball type approach. So he was hitting balls that I thought were, you know, pop-ups to short right field that were going in the, you know, the second deck. So that's what blew me away. And if he can, you know, maintain that short swing and still drive the ball that far off the field, then, you know, it's going to be pretty scary to see the numbers that he puts up.
While we're talking about swings, I was on SportsCenter on Saturday, and we were calling L.A. Dodger highlights. And if you've had those moments where you look at it and go, oh, I literally was watching this and went, oh, that's Sean Green. But, you know, it's like for 1/10 of a second, because you realize it can't possibly be Sean Green at the dish. It was Cody Bellinger. Am I bonkers? Like, is it just, or am I just thinking all lefties would look the same?
Yeah, maybe it's a little bit of ball. I'm flattered. I mean, he's definitely way ahead of I was. I mean, he's I think just turning 22 or is still 21. I'm not sure, but I was still in AAA, and to be able to do what he's doing, staying poised, having all this spotlight on him, is extremely impressive. I mean, he's got almost the same body style as me, and that being said, as a left-hand hitter, it looks pretty similar. He swings hard. I swung that really hard as well, especially after my first few years when I started figuring out that I wanted to try to drive the ball to center field and see if I can use the bigger parts of the park to hit home runs. And he does that. He came right up swinging hard, and you know, he's got an incredible future. I think last year people were saying Seager, and I always thought Seager looked a little bit more like Olerud. He's got more of a kind of left center over the shortstop's head line drive, kind of gap to gap type approach, and you know, either one, any of those guys to get compared to is definitely flattering for me.
Hopefully, at least with the Olerud comparison, at least a better helmet. Joined by Sean Green here on TSN 1050. Sean, the Blue Jays, for them to reach 88, 89 wins is going to require them to have basically a 640 winning percentage, which only the Dodgers in Houston have right now. And what I'm curious about is the season is long, and especially during a lot of years you were playing, there was no wild card or second wild card. How tough is it, especially for a veteran, when you're playing a season, and I know you got to be professional, but when you're grinding day in and day out and you know the chances of making the playoffs are near statistically impossible?
I mean, it was tough. I mean, my first few years with the Jays, we 95 through 97, we were kind of in that similar boat for the most part. And it's tough when you have someone in your division, like Houston or LA, that's just completely running away with it, which we had a lot in my years with the Yankees. And even early on in Baltimore was pretty tough, and the Red Sox as well. But when someone's running away from the division, I think it's a little tougher when with that second wild card, I think it gives everybody hope. And the thing about baseball, though, is everyone also, as much as you want to win and worry about that, you also have your own career. So you want to make sure you're performing and doing the things that you need to do on an individual basis. So that's I think it's a little different than if you're a lineman in a football team or something where there's really not as much of the statistical component to your future. So it's always so much more fun to come to the park when you're winning and when you know you have a shot coming into the trade deadline to add to your team and try to get deep into September and the postseason. I wouldn't count the Jays out yet. It's been a tough first half, but they've gotten extremely hot in the past in the second half of the season, and I think if they could kind of get their starting pitching on track and some of the lineup could start the power's there, I think, for the most part, but it's get on base a little bit more. I think some good things can happen in the second half.
Sean, you did 5 seasons with the Dodgers. I want to know any Vin Scully, anything about Vin Scully you can tell me. I didn't hear near enough of him, and then all of a sudden he was, well, all of a sudden,
what
40
mean, all
years
of a sudden?
Later. He was gone
he did it
40
for like
years
60
later.
60 years.
My entire lifetime he was a broadcaster.
All of a sudden.
Give me anything you can about Vin Scully.
I mean, Vin was an incredible storyteller. I mean, he actually had an impact on one of my traditions when I came over. I'd just been with the team. It was probably a couple weeks into April, and I was on deck one day, and I looked down at my batting gloves. One of my batting gloves was ripped, and so I didn't have time to go get a new pair of batting gloves before going to the plate. So I went up there, I hit a home run, and when I got to the dugout, I threw my batting gloves into the crowd. And so on air, Vince said, oh, it must be something that, the new guy from Toronto that he does when he hits a home run. He throws a pair of batting gloves to kids, and that's, how great is that? He went through this big, long spiel, talked about it for an inning or so. And so I thought, oh, okay, well, Vince says this. I guess I'd better do it. So I started doing that, and it became something that was pretty cool. It was a nice connection point with the younger fans. And so every time I hit a home run, the first couple times I'd forget, and the guy working in the clubhouse come out with a new pair of batting gloves to tell me, make sure you go throw them in the crowd. And from then on, I started to remember it. I always remembered, and I would throw them in the crowd, and the kids would come running down after a home run. So it was kind of cool. It all started with the legendary broadcaster making a simple observation.
They'll never be guys like that again. Like I just, those one-man booths where guys just tell stories and know baseball and love baseball. I just, those may be gone, but I'll never forget them.
Yeah, he once told a story about Madison Bumgarner chopping a snake in half and rescuing a rabbit, and I mean, just a ridiculous story, one of the best. Before we let you go, Sean, I did want to at least touch on this. What was it like, the home run derby in London? How did it go? What was the reaction there? And will eventually the Tampa Bay Rays be relocating to England?
Right. Yeah, it was a blast. When they told us what they were going to do, it was like a 60-degree field instead of a 45. So it was actually on the stage where the concert was. So a couple nights before, Justin Bieber was performing. And so we were hitting basically where he was performing, and they had two separate mounds, platforms for the batting practice pitchers to throw off of, and the home plate rotated. So the field was so narrow that they wanted it to be to our pole side. So if a lefty was up, then the pitcher on one side would throw, and they'd rotate the plate and vice versa. And, when they told us about it a couple nights before, we were saying, this is kind of scary to see how this works. But everything was really well designed, really well thought out, and there's tons of people in there. It's Hyde Park, and it was the summer festival time, so there's people always milling about, and I think only two people got hit with balls, so that's always a positive.
That's a win.
Two people got, when I say got hit, two people got injured, and there's probably close to 200 balls flying over because the fence was really short. It was probably at the furthest point, it was probably 320 feet. So it was really close, but we had a great time, and the turnout was above expectations, and I think the engagement and viewership on social media was well above what they expected, and the goal is to just kind of start seeding baseball in the UK, and it's tougher than the other sports, North American sports, basketball, football, and all that, because of, you know, the daily schedule, and you have the time change, and the stadiums there really aren't, they're really not wide enough in a lot of cases to try to host a team or host a series. So there are some challenges, but I'm pretty confident that within a couple of years, there's going to be a series played there, just like the NFL does.
Sean, thank you so much for joining us. Did you do better, by the way, this time than in 99? Where'd you do better?
I did better, but there were some targets aside. So okay. There's all these extra bonus points and crazy rules. So yeah, I had 13 points, which tied Cliff Floyd, and he was able to advance the next round this time, just because he was the captain and they had a little rivalry going between him and Carlos Pena. But a kid who was a minor league kid who got released by the Dodgers recently, he won the whole thing, and he actually was pretty impressive. So we'll see what happens with him.
Sean, thank you so much for joining us. Been fantastic. And just, you know, send the $7.43 Canadian in the mail.
Yeah, checks in the mail, for sure.
Nice. Thanks so much.